Well, good morning. I hope it's morning. Like, I always imagine, if I'm listening to a podcast, I always imagine it's like on that drive to work. And so I put myself in that mind. Like, when I'm recording these, I like to do it early in the morning because I'm fresh. I've got a hot cup of coffee here, and I hope you have the same. And I don't know, I'm a morning person, so that's when I'm at my best. And so I just want to wish you a happy morning. And if it's like late in the afternoon, that's fine too. Happy morning to you. I hope that you have a great morning tomorrow. And thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. This is where I like to just tell the old fishing stories that I probably, you know, shouldn't be telling on YouTube or places where I'm going to get myself in trouble. I can tell stories about things a little bit, with a little bit less concern about getting in trouble here on the podcast. So, and I just enjoy it. It gives me an opportunity just to sit down and take a break from everything that is going on and reminisce and relive, you know, the things that my family and I did growing up. And so, judging by, I'm assuming that you clicked on this or tapped on this episode or something because of that title. And I say that's funny because I haven't even written that title, but I know exactly what we're going to be talking about today. I know exactly the story that I want to tell. So regardless of what that title says, it's completely and 100% absolutely accurate. We have this rancher friend of ours. We live in South Texas, and there's a lot of ranches around here. And we have a friend of ours growing up. He's a friend of the family. And all we met at church when we first moved out here into the middle of nowhere. My mom and dad, if you're not familiar, when I was like 13, 12 or 13, we lived in Corpus Christi. Family wanted to get out of the city. My dad wanted to be in the country. So they bought a log cabin on a couple of acres out in the middle of nowhere. And that's where I got to, I say grow up. You know, I went until I was 13, I was in the city in Corpus Christi. And then at the age of 13, we moved out into the country. And man, it was so nice. Like, it took some adjusting. The school out here took a lot of adjusting. I went to Tolosa Midway when I was in Corpus Christi. That's a 4A high school. There was thousands of students there. It was massive. You know, the campus was huge. The reason I went to Tolosa Midway at that time when I was in junior high was because my best friend growing up, we went to Catholic school together. And I had this one close friend that I'd always had this entire time. And he went to Tolosa Midway. I think that's where his entire family had always gone, something like that. So I wanted to go be with my friend. And so I went to Tolosa Midway, and it was really cool. Now, it was really lonely. I'm going to tell, like, this will only take a minute. It does lead into, like, our main story here. I'm reminiscing a little bit, you know, and just bear with me here. I'm telling a story, and I'm long-winded, so I'm afraid, you know, you had to bear with me on that one. But I go to Tolosa Midway, and I want to be, you know, I want to hang out with my best friend, and it's such a big school. We don't have any classes together. I never saw him at school. Like, we didn't even have lockers I don't even think our lockers were in the same building. Or at the very least, they weren't on the same floor. This was a multi-floor high school. And I say all of this because I'm going to tell you about the next school that I went to in a minute. But this leads up to everything. And so, this was a really big school. That was cool. Like, I liked it over there. It was, you know, junior high, but it was a big one. I came from this small Catholic school, and now I'm on this massive public school. I get to wear, you know, imagine my mindset here. I get to wear clothes. You know, growing up, I had to wear uniforms the whole time. And I never minded the uniforms. It didn't bother me. I liked the uniforms. They just worked for me. I never had a problem with them once. But now, you know, I'm in junior high, and I'm starting to get into girls, and I'm starting to get into things, you know, stuff. Like, I'm starting to be my own, like touching on the idea that I could be a person, like a human being, you know what I mean? And so I'm now in this public school, and it's massive and it's huge, and I am all alone. I don't even get to hang out with the good friend that I, you know, intended to go there with. So it was, I remember being really emotional. My mom in particular, like she was really, she had some issues with it. She didn't really want me going to school there. There was a Catholic high school in town that would have been harder to go to. This school was right down the street from my house. But she wanted me to go to the Catholic high school, and it was smaller, and it was just not as interesting to me. I wanted to play basketball and do all this stuff that I kind of couldn't do at the other school. But this place was so big, I couldn't even make the basketball team. And I was actually like okay. I was very unrefined. But, you know, and first year, this is seventh grade. This is my first year in any kind of like basketball program or anything like that. Long story short. So this was like, I really liked it there, but it was also really emotional. Not having any friends. Like I don't have any friends at this school. I never had any friends at that school. People that I hung around with, but I had more kids that I just, you know, got into fights and stuff with kids. Just because I didn't have anybody. I don't remember having any friends over there. But I really liked the school. I liked that they had art programs, and I liked that I got to walk around this really cool campus and stuff, you know? Now, the boundary for this school district was literally the dividing line between my house and my next door neighbor. My next door neighbor was in the Tulosa Midway School District. And our house was in the Cal Allen School District. It's ridiculous. So I don't know if my family knew that. I don't know if we cared or ever went to find out where the line is actually drawn or anything like that. But, you know, they registered me for Tulosa Midway, and because of our address or something like that, you know, I got in and I was in the school district. So it was all good to go. You know, it's all fine. Then, like, we had this really weird thing happen. It happened, I can remember this so vividly, it happened in March of 1993, I think it was, 1993, 94, something like that. Anywhere, and it was spring. And we moved out into the country. Now, everything that we did, my dad worked a couple blocks from Tulosa Midway, actually still does. And my mom worked a little bit farther in town, but basically like we moved out into the country. That was our home base. That's where we went, you know, when we went home and everything, but everything in our life kind of stayed the same for that first year. We still stayed in Corpus Christi. We just drove. It was like a 45 minute drive and we just drove in town. So we move out there on a Friday. We move out to Papalote. And I guess the line that in between the two houses doesn't really play into the school district. So it play into this other than it probably, oh, we were looking to move into school district at the time too. Anyway, so this whole thing probably, it brought some things to to Tulosa Midway's attention, I guess, the school district. And I promise you, we're going to get back to the main story here. Okay. This kind of ties into everything a little bit. But so I guess it was on their radar that we didn't live in the school district. I guess we were telling them, you know, we're looking to move into the school district. And then so on this Friday, we move out of the school district, way out of city limits. But everything continues as normal, you know, or at least it did, hypothetically, I suppose. But we move out on a Friday. On Monday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I get to school. Get dropped off. This is the only day I went to school when we moved out into the country. This is the only day I attended school at Tulsa Midway. We moved out on Friday. On Monday morning, I show up and I go to school. And a little after lunch, they pull me into the office and they tell me that I don't live in the school district. And so basically, you know, I'm not like we have to pay the money or we're not paying the taxes or whatever the case may be. They kicked me out. They straight up said I could not be on campus and they put me on the curb and called my parents. My mom worked over on Saratoga. Tulosa Midway is probably 20 minutes away on the northern end of town. So my mom had to leave. Like she was a teacher. She had to leave her classroom to come and pick me up on the curb in front of that high school, in front of that junior high. And man, did things get traumatic for me at that point in time. It was already dramatic because I wasn't able to hang out with my friend. But we were like, what do we do now? You know, this is like a Monday. I'm kicked out of school. What are you supposed to do at this, you know, particular juncture? And my parents were livid that they did that. I wanted to go back to Tulsa Midway. I wanted to be with my friend. At the same time, I had no friends. So it was confusing. They were asking me what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be at Tulsa, and I just didn't know. You know, it was really confusing for all of us. Parents, obviously livid, and I think that they did not pitch a fit just because I liked the place so much. Like, I liked the place. I didn't like the other kids, I guess. I don't know. Confusing time. You know how that is. Junior high is just confusing in general. So basically, like, long story short, my other two brothers were going to school where my mom taught. They just needed to figure out what we were going to do with me. So I went to school at the local high school for where we moved out to. This is Skidmore, Texas, middle of nowhere. So I get registered at Skidmore. Now, I went from this 4A massive public school where the cafeteria had little restaurants every day. Like, I never had money to go to the restaurants, but it was just kind of cool eating in a food court that had options like a mall, you know? I liked being able to walk all over campus, and it was all indoors, you know? Like, there was patio areas, and there was places for the kids to hang out at picnic tables that were in covered patios, and then you could go out of the food court and hang out in the patio area. And when we played athletics, we had this massive, massive park behind the school that was really pretty, rolling hills and all of this stuff. It was just a really cool environment. And now I get sent to Skidmore. Now, Skidmore bounces between being a 2A and a 3A school. They're really small. I graduated with 50 kids. I went from, like, I don't know, 1,200 at Tulsa Midway to having 50 in my graduating class at Skidmore. I knew the names of every single person that I graduated with when I graduated. In Skidmore. Really, really small. A couple of buildings, you know, but it was all outside. And this is like starting to get hot down here, so there was no shaded areas to hang out with, so everything is hot and it's dusty, and it's this rundown little town that's centered around two competing gas stations. And it's not, you know, like, I'm into skateboarding and I'm into surfing, and that is not what Skidmore is. And I'm a skateboarder and I'm a surfer, and I show up in this, you know, podunk little town school, and I was different. And I was not liked, like, pretty much. I didn't know how to fit in. I didn't know what to do. It was already confusing. So now I've got this group of kids that have been to school there. Like, their families have been going to school there forever, generations, the ranching kids. And man, they picked on me, and it was not fun. Got into some fights with them, had a terrible time. Seventh grade was such a rough year for me. And it was so rough that I didn't want to go back. And in eighth grade, I ended up homeschooling, went back to Skidmore in high school, and actually had a lot of fun. So there's it did end up being like a good story. It's just seventh grade was a really rough year. Now that I've set the stage for this, let you know the background on how I ended up in Skidmore in the first place. So this is, we're, you know, in this country little place. When we move out there, we go to the local Catholic church, and we made some friends with some of the other ranchers. Like, there's a bunch of ranchers. So, you know what I mean? Like farmers and ranchers in the area. So there's kind of like little sects of them, I guess, like little groups. Like, there's this one little group of like families that, you know, I guess across generations, they probably, you know, had a lot of people who married into the family over there and stuff like that. And there was other families that have different ties, and everybody's fine with each other. It's not a big deal. And just junior high and high school in general are, you know, drama. So I'm not, you know, we're not going to be like naming names or anything like that. Everybody knows each other, and it's fine. Like, they just had their little group of kids who've been together forever, and they picked on me when I first showed up. And that was about the end of that, pretty much. but we had these other families that we were friends with, you know, that we really like, you know, we went out and just this last weekend went out and did a barbecue with them, family friends, and you know, hung out with them and had just a blast hanging out with them. So when we were in high school, or when I was in high school, my dad was close friends with this gentleman who's a rancher, and he had this issue. Like, so like I went to this barbecue the other day. It's not uncommon for, like, you know, my dad or any of us to go and, like, we'll go do a barbecue over at their place and, you know, have a bottle of scotch and smoke some cigars, blah, blah. And this has been going on since I was in high school. Like, I wasn't smoking cigars in high school, having scotch with them. But my dad and his friend would go out to the ranch, cruise around, and, you know, just do adult things, hanging out. You know, maybe they have a bottle of scotch, maybe they have a cigar, or they go sight in guns. Or they go, like a couple weeks ago, my dad was out there helping them. They were birthing a calf. And, you know, my dad is more than happy. I like this. My dad's more than happy to go out there. And he enjoys getting out, helping his friend with some of that physical labor. Some of the work he does, it is kind of like a clear his head kind of a thing. It's a really nice dude. So when I was in high school, our friend, he had an issue where there was like there's this river that runs through his land, or it's a creek that runs through his land, and it had flooded and it kind of filled up this section of the creek, and then the creek died down, but this flooded section left like a pond, and an alligator had washed into that pond, and that alligator got to the point where it started eating some fairly, like, it was taking out some of his calves. It had eaten like a couple of them, pretty good sized calves. Like, that's big time money out of this gentleman's pocket. And so my dad is like, well, hell yeah, let's take care of this. Scotch is on me. This is on a Saturday morning. And so I'm probably sitting there playing video games or something like that. And he's like, hey, come on, we're going to go out to the ranch. I was like, oh yeah, I'm game for that. Let's head out to the ranch. And I think, like, I probably wanted to go, like, I had imagined that I would probably go play some basketball or something in town. So I had, like, basketball shorts on, and then I had jeans over that. Little strange. I don't know. It was a little weird that I was dressed like that. That's not, like, that's kind of uncomfortable for me. But anyway, so that's what I was wearing, and a t-shirt. And we get out to the ranch. And so my dad has collected all of this stuff that he needs for this alligator. And his collection of stuff includes like 50 feet of rope, probably 5 feet of chain. And he, you know, tied the rope to the chain. And then he, on the other end of the chain, he used a chain leader for his fishing endeavor here. And so he takes a big hook, like a gaff sized hook, and he puts it on the end of that chain. And then, comically, he duct tapes this to a duck, as one does. And he let that duck go, and so basically what we needed to do here is this alligator's hanging on this pond. And this pond, mind you, so we thought this was going to be like probably a 4 or 5 foot alligator. This is what we estimated. And so, you know, whatever, we there wasn't YouTube videos to watch. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to get an alligator, but we knew what they were eating, and we knew that, you know, he was in that pond, and that pond was, I don't know, a quarter of an acre in size. Like, it wasn't that big, and it was probably 8 feet deep at its deepest point. And so we needed to get that duck out into the pond. And so my dad is going to be paying for this for the rest of his life. Him and his buddy are doing their, you know, big dad thing. And yes, I do the same thing. I have picked up that trait. But they're, you know, drinking some scotch and smoking cigars. And they're like, hey, why don't you swim that duck out in the middle of the pond? And, you know, I'm like, well, I'm not going to be playing basketball. I got roped into this trip. And I obviously, like, I realized at this point, like, this trip is not going to involve me playing basketball. I'm hanging out there with them. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll take care of it. I probably did this very begrudgingly because I know that I did not want to get wet. I know that I did not want to get wet. And I was like, fine, I'll do it. So I stripped down to my skibbies, and my skibbies on this particular day being my basketball shorts. And I took that duck and I swam it out into the middle of that damn pond. And like I said, it was just barely over my head. And I guess it was probably 8-10 feet of chain that he had as a leader. Because that duck just sat there. He just like, you know, he was happy. He was totally fine just swimming around in the middle of that pond in little circles. You know, the circles that the chain allowed him to do. He couldn't fly away. He's just swimming around. And then, you know, I put them out there and I swam back to the bank and, you know, they finished their scotch and then we drove into town. Something, I don't remember what the deal was. We went off, got some lunch or something. I made a mistake. This is one of, I've made a couple of mistakes like this in my life. I've got two big ones, this being one of them. This is one of the two big mistakes I've made in situations like this. And it actually, it directly influences the decisions that I make to this day. These two events that happened. This time, we drove back into town, and I don't know, like I was hanging out with friends. Or so, like I went and hung out with my friends, went and played basketball, whatever the case was. We went and got lunch, and I went and hung out with my friends. My dad and his friend went back out to the ranch, and the duck was gone. And, you know, they had that rope tied off to the tree. They're like, hell yeah, we got him. So they took the rope, they tied it to the hitch on the truck, and they dragged out an 11-foot alligator. My dad jokes about it to this day. I have two brothers, and he jokes about it to this day that, you know, one of the reasons that he needed me along that day is because he needed somebody to swim that duck out into the water. And he knew that if something happened, he had spares. You know, he could always make another. I've heard that joke 1,000 times. He could always make another one. He had spares, blah, blah, blah. But they pulled in a, like that dude, I was in close proximity to that damn alligator. I am not even kidding. I was 30 feet away from that alligator when I put that duck out into the pond. I was so close to him, you know, it's just a mud hole and I didn't know any better. And we thought this was going to be a 4 or 5 foot alligator, which would not have been an issue. That might've been a very painful experience had I got wrapped up with a 5 foot alligator, but I'd have walked away from it. You don't walk away from an experience with an 11 foot alligator that's hungry and eating calves when you have a duck in your hand. I guarantee, like, he knew I was there. He was probably checking me out. And it's entirely possible that when I'm swimming away, he was checking out that duck. And maybe that's what, like, you know, kept him off of me. I don't know. But so that is one of those just crazy experiences. It was really cool. So they drug him up. I think that thing, he unloaded a 40 cal pistol on that alligator. And they joke about it to this day. They said it was too stupid to die. Like, he just blew him up with that thing trying to kill him. And it didn't kill him. They ended up, like, leaving him out in the sun. I think that ended up killing him, you know, and you know, bleeding out after, you know, he emptied an entire clip. But it took that alligator forever to die. And, man, I tell you what. Some of the, and Peter, my brothers, they totally agree. Some of the best meat we ever had in our life was that alligator tail. Oh man, that was so freaking good. To this day, I can remember how amazing that alligator was. The other time, that was the one alligator that we got in our life too. That's the one time we got an alligator. Got a Polaroid of that sitting around somewhere, massive. It was like 11.6, something like 11 and a half feet. Huge, huge alligator. The other time that I missed out that causes like the greatest FOMO, you know, fear of missing out reaction for me in life. The other time was we'd gone offshore fishing. We had a pretty poor day fishing all day offshore. Like, we got some fish, but I was into surfing and, you know, I wanted adventure and girls on the beach and everything else. So it was in high school. We pulled up and the family was hanging out on the beach. We'd been fishing all day on the boat. We were offshore. But we knew the family was all at this one spot. So we pulled up in the boat. It was a really pretty day. And we'd caught our fish. Probably wasn't great, but, you know, it was, the day was kind of done. And basically, they were taking the boat back to Porter Ann, just my dad and my uncle. And, you know, I could go back with them or I could hang out at the beach. And I wanted to hang out at the beach. Big mistake. You know, I wanted to be around the girls and I wanted to be around family and I wanted to be at the beach. I wanted to go surfing. I wanted to play. So I did. And on their way back, I've never seen this in my life. One of these days I will. But this is just the most prime opportunity I ever would have had, and I completely missed out on it. And it's unlikely I ever get an experience opportunity like this again in my life. I missed that alligator. I wasn't there when they got the alligator. You know, I can say I swam that bait out. I can say that my dad was, you know, baiting him in with me. But this day at the beach, I was, you know, I went back and I was playing around there, but they took off and they went back to Port Aransas. And on their way back to Port Aransas, on their way back to port, they ran across a freaking whale shark. They've run into them before, but typically that's way offshore and you can't do anything about it because whale sharks are notorious for, like, there's other sharks that hang around with them and you can't do anything about that. You can't get in the water with a whale shark when you've got a bunch of makos or, you know, a big dusky or something like that hanging around. This was a whale shark in 40 feet of water on a clear day on Padre Island. So they got in the water and they were snorkeling with it because there's not going to be these big, you know, insane sharks hanging out with it. He's just in shallow waters hanging out in the, you know, sunning himself. Never, like, the opportunity to get in the water and play with a whale shark is so high on my bucket list. And I missed it that day because I wanted to go play on the beach. Huge, huge mistake. And so those two moments, like that, missing out on that alligator and missing out on that whale shark, are two of those moments to where, to this day, if somebody says, if somebody tells me I'm going to the beach, let's go fishing. If somebody tells me I'm taking the boat out and I need somebody to scrub decks. If somebody tells me they're gonna go do a thing, I can't always physically do it, but you are damn right. I am going to try to do all of the things whenever they physically, you know, whenever an opportunity presents itself, because I never want to miss out on another opportunity like that alligator or that whale shark ever again in my life. And I'm going to wrap it up saying that I suggest you do the same. Like, you don't have to jump in on every single opportunity that's out there. We all have lives. We have things we need to do. But we're also on borrowed time. You know what I mean? Like you're going to die. I'm going to die. And we will not have lived all of the experiences in life that we want to live. Absolute guarantee. We're not going to get to do everything. So do as much as you can. Enjoy it. When you die, you need to be able to look back and be like, you know what? I did that. I did as much as I could. So live your week like that. Go day to day. When you get home and you're tired and you want to put on the TV and plop down on the couch, go spend a minute, go play some basketball with the kids. Go take that extra 5 minutes to go do something out in the garden, get some fresh air, whatever. Cook with your wife. Do something. Enjoy the times that are there while you've got them. You know, because they're not going to be around forever. You're not going to be around forever. So do what you can. Do not miss out on those whale shark and alligator opportunities. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to sit here and tell some fishing stories and not, you know, get chastised for talking about stuff that could be, whatever, inappropriate or, you know, things that we would get scolded for on different platforms. It is an absolute pleasure. I will be sure to make more of these episodes in the very near future. I know I've neglected it and I apologize for that, but I promise you I'm back. I've got plenty more to come and I look forward to seeing more of you in the next one. Have a wonderful day and go give yourself an amazing week. Thank you.